Act 2, Scene 2.
Cecily, dear, surely that is the gardener's duty, not yours, especially when all these intellectual pleasures await you. Here is your German grammar book. Please open it at page 15. We'll repeat yesterday's lesson.
I don't like German. It's a very dull language. I always look unattractive after my German lesson.
Cecily, you know how worried your guardian is that you improve yourself. And he particularly mentioned your German when he left for town.
Uncle Jack is so serious all the time. I sometimes wonder if he's ill.
Not at all. He's in the best of health. It's admirable for a young man to take his responsibilities as a guardian so seriously.
Well, I don't think he enjoys it very much. He often looks bored when he's with us. Why does he never laugh?
You forget that Mr. Worthing has many troubles in his life. He has constant worry about that unfortunate young man, his brother.
I wish Uncle Jack would permit his brother to come here sometime. We might have a good influence on him. You certainly would. You know all kinds of important things, like geology and German.
I don't believe I'd have any influence on a character as weak as his, and I have no wish to try. Put away your diary now, Cecily. I really don't know why you keep a diary at all.
If I don't write down all the wonderful secrets of my life, I might forget them.
Memory, my dear Cecily, is the only diary we need. We all carry it with us.
How can we trust our memories? They sometimes remember things that never really happened. I think memory is responsible for many incredible things in all those novels we read.
Don't speak badly of novels, my dear. In my younger days, I once wrote a 3-volume novel myself.
Miss Prism, that's wonderful. You're so clever. Was your novel ever published?
Unfortunately, no. The manuscript was abandoned.
How sad. But I see dear Reverend Chasuble coming through the garden.
This is indeed a pleasure, Reverend.
And how are you this morning, ladies?
Miss Prism has been complaining of a slight headache. I'm sure it would do her good to have a short walk with you in the park, Reverend Chasuble.
Cecily, I haven't mentioned anything about a headache.
No, Miss Prism, I know that. But I felt instinctively that you've got a headache. Reverend, please forgive me if I continue my studies. My uncle particularly wishes me to study German while he's away.
Ah, yes, I expect he's in London again. I understand Mr. Worthing is frequently obliged to go there to get his irresponsible brother out of trouble. Mr. Worthing is such an admirable young gentleman, and he's very young to have such a responsibility. Well, I mustn't disturb you ladies any longer. No doubt I'll see you both at evening prayers.
I think, Reverend Chasuble, I'll have a little walk with you. I find that I've got a slight headache after all.
With pleasure, Miss Prism, with pleasure. We might go as far as the school and back.
Ah, horrible German.
A gentleman called Mr. Ernest Worthing has just driven over from the station. He's got luggage with him.
Mr. Ernest Worthing, flat 4, the Albany. I can't believe this. It's Uncle Jack's brother. Did you tell him Mr. Worthing was in London?
Yes, miss. He didn't seem to mind at all. I told him you were in the garden, and he said he wished to speak to you privately for a moment.
All right, Merriman. Ask Mr. Worthing to come here. And please tell the housekeeper to organise a room for him.
Yes, miss.
I've never met a wicked person before. It's a little frightening. I wonder if he'll look different or just like everyone else. How strange! He looks very pleasant and rather handsome.
You must be my little niece, Cecily.
Well, I'm not exactly little. In fact, I'm generally considered rather tall for my age. But I'm your niece, Cecily, and you're my Uncle Ernest, my wicked uncle from London.
Oh, I'm not really wicked at all, dear Cecily. You mustn't think that.
Well, if you're not wicked, then you have been deceiving us all. Were you just pretending to be wicked all this time? That's very hypocritical.
Well, perhaps I have been a bit irresponsible.
I'm glad to hear it.
Now that I think of it, I have even been quite bad at times.
I'm not sure that you should be proud of that, but never mind. I don't understand why you're here, Uncle Ernest. Uncle Jack won't be back till Monday afternoon.
That's unfortunate. I must be in London on Monday.
Oh, please wait for Uncle Jack. I'm sure he wants to speak to you about your emigration to Australia. He told me he's gone to London to speak to the Australian ambassador.
Australia? Emigrate to Australia? What a terrible idea.
Uncle Jack said something very strange at dinner on Wednesday. He said that you would have to choose between this world, the next world, or Australia.
Did he really? Well, the reports I hear of Australia and the next world are not very promising. This world is good enough for me, dear Cecily.
Yes, but are you sure that you're good enough for it?
You're right. I'm not sure that I am. I have a wonderful idea. Why don't you reform me? Make that your mission, Cecily. It's a very honourable mission. But before you start, could I have something to eat? I'm very hungry.
Yes, of course. How inconsiderate of me. Please come in and I'll order some tea and sandwiches. I won't order wine. I think you should avoid the temptations of alcohol completely if you wish to reform. I understand wine sometimes causes young men to behave very badly indeed.
May I have one of these pink roses for my buttonhole?
Why?
Because you're like a pink rose, dear Cecily. You're the prettiest girl I've ever met.
I don't think you should say things like that. Miss Prism says beauty is a snare.
If that's true, then it is a snare that every sensible man would like to be caught in.
I don't think I want to catch a sensible man. I wouldn't know what to talk to him about.